Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Good to be here tonight. Lisa and I and the family went to Chick-fil-A this evening, and I was impressed. That has got to be a far better chicken sandwich than McDonald's ever even dreamed up of. Listen to that guy. No, when we got there, we were kind of pulling up. We had to drive all the way up in Arnold, which is about 15 miles north of here, something like that, and to go up there. And we get close to the place, and I see guys with big posters, and I'm going, aha, the sodomites are here. No, it was guys in support. And in case nobody knows what's going on, the founder, the president, owners of Chick-fil-A, it's a family-owned company, they came out and endorsed traditional marriage between a man and woman. I'm going to preach on marriage tonight. God just kind of laid some things in my heart, and I'm kind of excited about it. But anyway, it came out and just said sodomite marriage is wrong. It's just wrong, according to the Bible, according to what we believe. I want to tell you what the shame of it is. The shame of it is that a business owner in America has to take a stand because churches won't.
Amen.
That's the shame of it right there. And you can send this to all the Methodists and the Episcopalians and the Disciples of Christ and everybody else and Rick Warren and Joel.
Yeah.
You can send them, every one of them, a clip of this and tell them to watch it. The shame of it is that we have to let the businesses and the world do what we're supposed to be doing to begin with. Okay? But anyway, so they came out and endorsed it. Of course, you know, they sodomites and the liberals and everybody else. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, no, we ought to boycott them. Rahm Emanuel up in Chicago said there'd be no Chick-fil-A's in Chicago. Okay? And he was ducking bullets from a drive-by shooting. But anyway, one alderman up there in Chicago, liberal Chicago city alderman, said that they were going to have the police set up roadblocks around Chick-fil-A so that nobody could get to them. And some people said, that's against the law. You can't do that. Okay? Well, there's a lot of things that are against the law. And when you don't care about this law, you don't care about anything else. But anyway, it started out with Mike Huckabee, who used to be the governor of Arkansas, and he ran for president here a while back. And he was at one time a Southern Baptist preacher. And he basically said on his radio program, let's just make August 1st Chick-fil-A Day. And everybody who wants to be in support of what they did and what they're standing for, go to Chick-fil-A. And I guarantee you the liberals were hoping that nobody paid attention to that. But everybody showed up. And I mean, it was packed. We got up there and we got lucky because we got in before the evening crowd. And I asked the lady when we got to the counter, I said, how many people come by? She said, I don't know. She said, but I'm told that this morning, because they serve breakfast, she said, this morning it was out the door. She said, it's been packed like this all day long. And when we got there, there was a semi backed up to the place unloading more food, bringing it in for that day. We got in there. We walked in the side door. And I put pictures of this on Facebook, and I'll post it on my blog later this evening. You walk in the side door, and you have to go to the back. That's the line there when we got there. The line had to go all the way to the back and then turn and go back all the way to the front. And then it's come back around to the counter. And I'm going, oh, man, I don't know, you know, because usually if you're in a line like that, you're not going to. If you're at the DMV, license office, you can hang it up. It's a good thing they serve food at the Chick-fil-A, okay, because you're going to need it. And I want to tell you something. I was impressed with the service. They not only, I mean, when you ordered, within 5 minutes, you had all your food. Boom, just like that. It was impressive. And I'd never had their food before. Great food. And I'm not getting paid to endorse them. I'm just telling you, I like what they stood for. And I was glad to see the number of people that was there and still there right now. I was glad to see that. And I want to tell you something. We're not done preaching to America. There's still some people. See, God wrote the law in our hearts. Everybody in this world knows what's right and wrong. Everybody in this world knows that it's wrong to steal things. It's wrong to commit adultery. There's a marriage, man and a woman. Everybody knows that. Okay? But here's what the word adultery means. Adultery means to adulterate something the way something is. That means to pervert it or to change it into something that it was never intended to be. That is adulterated. They have adulterated marriage by acts of sodomy, and then they want to take that and then make it look like it's normal. And then this is how really it ought to be. And these are the people now who own businesses, who are politicians, who are civic leaders and school teachers. That's who they are. And I say this, I don't go too far with a lot of things. And I say this like when I do the live program, you need to remember something. These are men that kiss each other on the mouth. Now, there's nothing normal about that. Okay? And I thought I would just take a few, but I appreciated what they stood for, what they did, and I did exactly what I said I was going to do. I had two sandwiches, okay, and I had their waffle. I never had their fries, but their waffle fries. Had them right there. And we went and we took our money up there and left it there. And thankful. I hope they did well today. But I was just impressed with it and just had a good time. And I was in there taking pictures so I could post them. And I sat down to eat the meal. And there was a couple, a man and a woman standing there, and they were holding hands. And I just looked at that and I'm going, that's a picture right there. And I asked them, I said, can I take a picture of your hands? And they said, oh, God bless you. And I took a picture. She said, would you send that to me? So I got her email address and sent her that. I'll post it on her blog a little bit later on. But that's what it's all about, okay? And I'm just going to kind of deal with some things tonight on why I believe in biblical marriage, why I'm against homosexual marriage. And I'm not, listen, you can call me a homophobe if you want. Homophobia means that you're afraid of homosexuals. I'm not afraid of them, okay? I'm not afraid of them. There's a reason why God has a way He wants things done. God's not hateful and mean and everything else. God has a way that wants that if we do His way, we'll honor Him. I'm going to get this out of the way first because I thought it was funny. This was posted on Facebook earlier today. During a recent password audit by a company, it was found out that an employee was using the following password. Here's this gal's password. Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, Huey, Louie, Dewey, Donald, Goofy, Sacramento. That was the password. Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, Huey, Louie, Dewey, Donald, Goofy, Sacramento. And when asked why she had such a long password, she rolled her eyes and said, hello? You said it has to be at least 8 characters and include at least 1 capital. Yeah. Now let's see here. Now I pulled this out. I was going to read it. I think I've already covered it. And by the way, this is not over with. Friday, did you guys go to Chick-fil-A?
They're lined up around the building.
Oh, yeah, they are. But what I was going to say was, when we got done, we walked out, they were lined up outside of the building. That's the dinner rush had come in. We got there at 4, and by 5, they were already pushed out the door and out. And I've seen pictures from around the country where they've been lined up for blocks. And here is this from the Washington Times today. The Chicago Republican Party announced last week it would file a complaint with the Illinois Department of Human Rights and Attorney General Lisa Madigan, this is in Illinois, over the discriminatory action by Alderman Joe Marino against the food chain Chick-fil-A. The party is now expanding their complaint to cover Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel as well. Rahm Emanuel was Barack Obama's campaign strategist and his chief of staff. And so according to a press release, Chicago Republican Party says, quote, the complaint states the alderman and the mayor have broken civil rights laws pertaining to religious freedom, the First Amendment, in denying Chick-fil-A a permit to operate its business in the city of Chicago. They're saying you will not be able to operate in the city of Chicago simply because you stand against morality, or you stand for morality. Okay? Anyway, WBEZ reported last week Chicago's Moreno now wants Chick-fil-A to put into writing that it, quote, won't support any groups with a political agenda, including those with an anti-gay marriage stance, before he'll consider allowing zoning rights to Chick-fil-A restaurant in his ward. You know what? I wouldn't build there. I wouldn't care if Chicago had all the money in the world. I would not build a restaurant in that town. There's no way I would. I'd pull out and say, you know what, I'm done. If you guys want to be that way, fine, do it without us. Amen? Listen. Take a stand. Take your stand. All right. Good to be here tonight. Clayton wants us to pray for him tonight. And there's some other folk probably just need prayer requests, and they just need help. And so there's a lady that is, I need to call her. She's been trying to get a hold of me. I don't know the lady's name or anything like that, but she's been getting a hold of me saying that her husband's been, she's caught him in an affair. Not anybody around here. And she's just devastated, wants us to pray for her and pray for that situation, and we will. One of our other followers from Michigan called, said she wanted to talk to me about a situation he's troubled about. I told her she'd call tomorrow, gave her a time. And so anyway, let's just pray for some folk. This is a terrible world we live in. And I'm glad we got the Bible to keep us straight. We would be part of that terrible world if not for this Bible. And so I'm just going to preach some things out of the Bible tonight and hope it's a blessing to you. And had a good time of study. I wasn't here today. I was going to do a pure Bible study. I haven't done that yet. That'll be done tomorrow. I'm having some problems at home. Having some problems at home. We ordered a new bathtub, and the guys came out to install it. They brought the bathtub out. They ripped out the old bathtub, and they opened the box of the new bathtub, and it's got a chip already built into it. I mean, a ding. Porcelain tub, and they told Lisa today, they said, well, we'll get one out there. It'll probably take about 7 weeks, but we'll get her out there. Now, I'm going to tell you what, lava shot out of my wife's head. I have personally made her that mad before. And but I'm going to tell you what, we kind of settled down a little bit, and they got one on the way. It'll be in Friday. So that's the kind of problems at home I can handle. Amen. Anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Pray for one another and got our home. Yes, Rose. Pray for Rose's family situation going on right there. Yes, Gary. Pray for Brian and Andrea. They're down in Houston. They're on the way back up here. They can't find a job anywhere down there, and they're just really stressed out. Can't find a church to go to other than Lakewood. And so they're on the way up here. We're just going to be family to them while they're here. We've got folks coming in for the homecoming, and we're looking forward to that, looking forward to having a good time with everybody. And so that starts Friday evening, 5 o'clock. We're going to have a little dinner. Friday night, 7 o'clock is the service. Friday night I'm going to preach on prophecy, prophets, dreams, and visions. Okay? Saturday, I made some notes last night. Saturday, I think I'm going to deal with the revival and the resurrection of Israel. Okay? And other than that, I don't have the rest of it worked out yet. But anyway, Sunday morning, and so the services be all day Saturday, having breakfast here. Sunday morning will be normal time. And Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, we're going to have a wedding. Looking forward to that. And Bradley's going to preach his message on Jesus and the Bible are the same thing. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Let's ask for God's blessing on all of these. And the Lord bless you tonight. When I come against something like I'm coming against it tonight, I'm trying not to be mean about it. I'm not judgmental. I'm just telling you that God always has a better way. And if you'd believe that, you'd find that out. God always, I don't care if you're a witch and practicing witchcraft, there is actually a better way for you from God. Okay? It actually works. It actually works. Heavenly Father, it's good to be here tonight. It's good to be in the company of your people. I thank you, dear God, for your grace and your mercy, Lord, that you've extended to all of us. God, Lord, Father, without this Bible, America would not be near the situation that we're in now, Lord, Father. I just saw just a little bit of hope tonight, and I thank you for that. There's still some people out there, Lord, that can be reached and preached to, God. They seem to recognize, God, that just some things are wrong. And Lord, help us, Lord, to send out a message from this church as individuals and people, Lord, around the world that are listening. Help us to send out a message, Lord, that, God, you have ways for us to live. You have a right way for us, God, and it's better than anything else in the world. And why would we settle for less when we can have your best? And Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for that. And Lord, use us and bless us, dear God. Help us, dear God, because we get tempted too. And Lord, just help your people first so that we can turn and be a blessing and a help to other people. Lord, just help us to shine the light now. We pray to you tonight. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness to us in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please turn to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. The issue is that we're dealing with today in today's world is they're pushing sodomite marriage on everybody. And I want to tell you something. I think it was Jared there in my office made a good point earlier. He basically said that they'll get ignorant with you. Sodomites, when approached with the issue, he said they're not nice about it. And if you look at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, you'll see that. These men of Sodom were willing to beat down Lot's door and to go in and steal those two angels out of there so they could molest them. That's this kind of spirit that you're dealing with right there. When you say homosexual, you're dealing with a militant about their lifestyle, and they don't just want themselves to have that freedom. They're like Muslims. They want to force that ideology on everybody and shove it down your throat, while they then accuse you, Jim, of trying to shove your religion and your doctrine down their throat. Somebody wrote me a while ago and asked me, they said, how do we deal with people that when you say anything about sodomy or this and that and the other, they say, well, you're judging. You're supposed to be a Christian. You're not supposed to judge anybody. I like how people, they take that one little skewed principle out of the Bible. They don't care about the rest of the Bible, but they'll take that one thing and they'll hit you across the head with it like you're not really who you think you are. And they'll try to tell you that you're being wrong for saying something's wrong. And they ask me what to do about it. I said, just quote Scripture. Just go to the Bible and quote Scripture. If they don't like that, they're not mad at Chick-fil-A. They're mad at God. That's their problem right there. They're upset with God because God actually gave us a better way and rules to keep us from going the wrong way. So why don't you be mad at the guy who put the stoplights up here and the stop signs and the yield signs and the speed limit signs? Why don't you be mad at them too? Because they're telling you that there's a better way. Speed limit signs are there for your safety and for your benefit. Everybody has to drive these highways, and if we all could do 100 miles an hour, we would, and you know it. And it wouldn't be safe that way. We can't just drive 90 miles an hour down in front of a school with kids unloading on the bus. Those rules are there for our protection and for our benefit, and they are a better way. But everybody hates it when you say, well, the Bible says this is wrong. They cannot handle that, and they don't like that. And so they get militant, and they get mean about it, and they say, we don't tolerate your intolerance. I think that's hilarious, okay? In other words, a liberal will tolerate everybody else's immorality and their wrong lifestyle except a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. They hate your guts. While they talk about joy and peace and let's all just get along, you're the only one that they don't want to get along with. And you just keep being that way. Don't let them scare you out of your position. Don't let them scare you out of closing your mouth either and taking a stand. Amen? Amen. I just feel like after church tonight, we ought to go back up to Chick-fil-A and order some ice cream. They got ice cream up there too, by the way. Anyway, Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage? And I would just think about that for a while. Lost people are mad. They're mad all the time. They're mad at the, and I'll tell you why. Because they're heathens. They're going to hell and they know it. Down deep in their heart, they know that they've fallen short of God's ways, and they're mad about it. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now I want you to look at verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers. That is Barack Obama. Barack Obama is a ruler over this country who has came out and endorsed. Now he said, now I'm changing my position on sodomite marriage. No, he's not. He's lying through his teeth. He's been for it all along. Amen. He's been for it all along. In fact, he goes to Rick Warren's church before the election. Do you remember that? Yes. And he was asked that question. He said, well, that's above my pay grade. I'm not going to answer that. You know why he didn't? Because he knew he was sitting in a church and he was trying to get those liberal Christians to vote for him. And they did. They voted for that rascal and put him in office. Okay? I'd like to know where Rick and Joel was tonight. I'd like to know where they were. Okay? Because this kind of stuff puts them in a pickle. Because everybody that claims to be a Christian of any kind in America was going to Chick-fil-A tonight. Okay? But these guys are not, they're in it for the points they can score with everybody. And they're trying not to offend anybody. But I want to tell you something. There's going to come a time when you are going to be offensive if you will stand for something that somebody's in opposition to. When you stand up against that, you're going to be offensive to them. And there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing you should want to do about it. Just keep standing for the Bible. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. That is a conspiracy. Write the word conspiracy in your Bible right next to that verse because that's exactly what it is. The Holy Ghost was sitting at the table when these guys met together to discuss how they were going to do one thing. And that it was against the Lord, number one, so they hate God. They don't hate Chick-fil-A. They hate God. Against the Lord and against His anointed. Now that's Christ, number one, because the word anointed is the word Messiah in Hebrew is anointed. The word Christ or Christos in Greek means anointed. It means the same thing. Okay? So it's the same word against Christ, and then that would apply to all those who are in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are part of the Lord's anointed, and they don't like you and they hate your guts. That's why Rahm Emanuel does not want Chick-fil-A and the things that represent it in his town. He hates the Lord, he hates God's morality, and he doesn't like you Bible-thumping Christians telling him what he can and cannot do. So here's what they say, verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I'm wearing on my ring a band. Amen. It is the band of marriage that God himself has ordained that it's between a man and a woman. You say, how can you say that? How can you know that? I'm going to show you how I know that. I'm not only going to show you how God defines it, but I'm going to show you why he done it this way. It's a beautiful, beautiful study if you'll just ever focus on what the scripture is saying and what it's getting at from Genesis. And we're going to go all the way to the book of Revelation because when you see in the book of Revelation, you get it. You see what it's all about. God has a plan. It's a beautiful plan. There's nothing better in the world than marriage between a husband and wife. Two people that love one another. Amen. Nothing in the world better than that. But anyway, they want to break those bands. And they want to cast those cords away. And so every ilk in society now is along with the pro-sodomite wedding crowd. Whether it's in America or France or the Netherlands or England or Spain or Kenya or anywhere else it is. In fact, I don't know what's come of it, but there was talk when we were in Kenya last year, they're kind of redoing their constitution. And I know for a fact there was pressure placed by the Obama administration on the government and the powers that be in Kenya to get them to not make homosexuality illegal in Kenya anymore. Right now it's illegal. It's against the law in Kenya for you to have an open sodomite deal. And there was pressure by the United States government put on the Kenya government to say, don't make that way anymore. You want to be like America and you want to have sodomites running all over the place. No, they don't. So they want to break those bands asunder. But let me tell you what those bands are all about. Let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. In fact, I had a deep, deep thought in my office while I was looking at this a while ago. It never went anywhere, but it was really neat. I don't know what it means yet, but it was just really good. I just noticed that right after God gave Adam the law in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, right after that, he says it's not good that the man should be alone. Okay? Which is interesting. I don't know what it means yet, but it's interesting to me that God, with his foreknowledge, knew then that by creating the woman, he would have created the one who was weak enough to listen to the devil and talk him into breaking the law. And I don't know. I kind of get it. That may come out in the teaching tonight if the Lord allows it. But anyway, I want you to look in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2. I'm just going to ask you, do you believe the Bible tonight? Do you believe this? Do you believe this is the Word of God? Do you believe that? Or you can say, well, you know, man wrote the Bible, and man said all these words, and man doesn't want this, and man doesn't want that. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Number one, in the book of Jeremiah, God said, Jeremiah, open your mouth, and I'm going to put my words in your mouth. He said it to Isaiah. All his prophets were speaking, thus saith the Lord God. Okay? And Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration. That means it came out of the mouth of God by way of the Holy Ghost. And when Paul was writing that down, the Holy Ghost was telling him what words to write down. I learned this really weird, there's all kinds of weird stuff you learn in Bible college, Brady. And one of them was that, well, maybe the idea is maybe God just kind of gave him the thoughts, and Paul wrote it down as best as he could in the language that he knew. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. Amen. I believe it's the plenary verbal inspiration of the Bible means that every word was given to us by the Lord God. And you say, well, what about the writing styles, the differences between John and Peter and Luke and Paul? Did you know that God works through our differences? Works through our personalities? And each one of those men represented a different character of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you just stop and think about that, that Jesus really, really was, had the nature of Elijah and John the Baptist and Paul and Isaiah and Enoch and Moses. I mean, Jesus was exhibiting himself in a different way through Moses and through David and all these. I just love, when you look at who the real author of the book of Psalms is, who do you think is the best musician in the world? If they had a battle of the bands and had Jesus here and the devil here, who we know plays musical instruments, who do you think would win? Rock of ages, cleft for me. Amen. All right. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. This is the Bible. And if you don't believe the Bible, then there is no such thing as morality for you. If you don't believe that there is an absolute from our Creator, then you have in your mind the concept that whatever you do is okay. That's what you believe. Okay? Because if you don't have anybody to be accountable to, and as far as judgment at the end of your life, then you truly believe that you can do and perform anything that you want to do. You can hurt people. And I want to ask you a question. What is it that makes you wrong or makes you right? Okay? If you think that there is no God, then it would not be immoral for me to shoot your head off. Because I think it's right. That guy in Colorado went and shot all those people up. If there is no God, then why is what he did wrong? Okay? Just give you something to think about. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. That word meet means for his needs, sufficient to him. God made my wife sufficient for my needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, relationship-wise. We counter one another. She is different than me in some ways, and I'm different than her. And where I'm weak, she is strong. Where she is weak, I'm strong. It just works out that way. It works that way, and it's not good that the man should be alone. Now I want you to think of who the man is. Pilate looked at Jesus and he said, behold, the man. So I want you to think of Adam now. And the Bible already teaches us that Adam was a prefiguring of Jesus Christ. In fact, the New Testament calls Adam the Son of God. It's a prefiguring of Jesus Christ. So I want you to look at now the big picture here. Already, we're looking at the big picture. We have God's Son, whom God looks at and says, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him, sufficient for his needs, a complementary to him. Okay? So I want you to think about that. And then in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Think of the death and the resurrection of Christ. Sleep is a picture of death. to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs. Where was Jesus pierced? It was a wound in his side, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man. And by the way, a rib is in your bosom. Okay? When we have somebody that we dearly love, it is in our nature. It is in our nature. It is an automatic. We never have to think about it. When we have somebody that we dearly love, whether it's a husband or wife, a mother or father, or a child or relative or a close friend, we draw them in right to our bosom. The bosom, right in this area here, there's something about this area that it's where our heart is, it's where our vital, it's where our life is, essentially. And by our own nature, because God designed us this way, we draw them into our bosom. That is a very special place. And here God takes what is in Adam's bosom, close to his heart, by his side, and takes that out, and he fashions the woman for him. Okay? The rib which the Lord, verse 22, the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. When we have a wedding ceremony, the father brings the gal down. That is a picture of God bringing the woman to the man. A wedding ceremony is Bible prophecy, pure and simple. And when you have a wedding ceremony that involves two men, it is an utter abomination before Almighty God. The kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together to break those bands. They because the devil knows the end run is that the joining together of the bridegroom and the bride. And if he can stop that from happening, he will succeed. And so I will not join two men together. I will not, and two women will not do it. And I'll tell you where we can take this. I will not join a man and his dog together either. You say, that's gross. That'll never happen. Already is. The utter depravity of mankind. You don't just assume that it's going to soften down somewhere and it'll be open. Uh-uh. Man will find new depths to reach of his depravity. So anyway, it brought him to the man. Verse 20. By the way, God, the Holy Ghost, is the one who is prefashioning the church, the bride, and he's going to bring us. See, it's a big picture here. Verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, I've illustrated this before when the words Adam said, verse 23, from verse 23 to verse 24, the words that Adam said, exactly 46 words that he said, which is interesting because in the union of a man and a woman, the man provides 23 chromosomes, the woman provides 23 chromosomes. That's 46. And those two chromosome pairs are joined together inside of the womb of the mother. And that literally, the pairing of the two, literally, this Bible is literal. They literally become one flesh in a new baby. Sodomites cannot do that. They cannot perform that naturally. It's not done in the natural realm. I know that there's certain animals that are what they call asexual and so on. But in the natural realm of human beings and mammals, it is not done that way. God was setting that right before our eyes. You never see two bulls out in the pasture going at it and then think, oh boy, we're going to have us some calves around here before too long. And I'm going to tell you something. Based on that, I'm against sodomite adoptions, foster care, the whole nine yards, test tubes. Let's go get some. Hey, since we can't make a baby, Let's go buy one. It is sad. And now we're living in a situation, I don't know if you know this or not, we're living in a situation right now in this world, they now have the ability to have a child that can be germinated from more than two parents. At least three that they know of for sure, and possibly more. They can take the DNA from multiple human beings and fuse them together into one child. So all of the laws, everything that we've accustomed to now for thousands of years, those are all, California right now is entertaining a law, a bill before Congress that will allow the law to deal with multiple parented children. It is an, I'm going to tell you something. We are, Armageddon's close. Okay? But this is the illustration that God has given. God is the one who said a man and a woman. God said that. God created the birds, gave them in their order. God created the fish, gave them an order, and let them go. God created the bears. God created the bees. God created everything that there is, and he gave it an order, and he said, follow this order, and they do. He gave them a nature to follow. You don't see dogs with bunny rabbits having babies. That's not God's way. He is the creator. He's the one that gets to make the rules. Amen? Now take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul explains this. I love the Bible. You see, it's just a better way. It is just absolutely a better way. And I'll never forget the day Lisa and I stood, we stood right here in this church. And Sterling, I got a picture of it. I think I'll post that. Got a picture of Sterling walking Sweetie Pie in this church. Okay? And I was standing up here thinking, boy, I hope she don't run out. And she was walking down the aisle thinking, I want to run out. That's really true. That's kind of how it happened. Okay. I'm glad she stuck with me. Amen. I am. I'm glad. She is too, by the way. She just... I want you to look at this. Okay? God ordains a man and a woman to be together. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. So I want you to look at this. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, here's what the Bible says. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. You and I, as the church, born again saints, we are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. Okay, three. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Okay? You just can't beat the Bible. I see Brady back there. He's going, yeah. See, there's light. When you just follow the cadence, the Bible has a rhythm to it. Okay? It has a rhythm. It has a cadence to it. Okay? So anyway, verse 31, for this cause. Now, Paul's going to quote Scripture. Paul is giving you a New Testament witness as to the accuracy of the Old Testament, and he's telling you this is right. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now I'm going to stop right here. The Episcopalian Church met recently to discuss how they can come up with a blessing for sodomite marriages. So that in the Episcopalian Church, when the state allows it, you'll be able to be married in those churches. They don't believe the Bible. And if you're out there and you have an Episcopalian background, get out. And I'm not going to apologize for that. Leave them. Leave them rascals. Leave Chicago. Get out of Chicago. Amen? Okay? Get out of them places. They are not worthy of the blessing that God gives his people. They're not worthy to even have that around them. Okay? And you can say that's mean all you want to, but I'm just telling you, tonight, we just draw a line. Okay? And I want to tell you something. It'll get a lot harder than this. I mean, I'm so proud of myself because I went and ate Chick-fil-A tonight. Okay? I'm going, bless God. I even took a picture of the price that we paid and posted on Facebook so everybody know I left my money there. $32 and some odd cents, okay? Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. There will be a time when it's going to cost us a whole lot more than that to take that kind of stand. Okay? So you just get ready for it, all right? For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. The Episcopalian Church, United Methodist Church. United Methodist Church says, we have open minds. That's because they have sodomites behind the pulpit. They want more sodomites in there. Okay? Ray Bolts, gospel music singer, who wrote, thank you, and I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Remember that song? Came out as a queer, and he wasn't repentant of it. He said he fell for the idea, God made me this way, and so I'm going to go around telling everybody about Jesus and how it's good to be gay and sing. So those churches, God has already wrote Ichabod over those things. Okay? For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, they two shall be one flesh. If anybody asks you, instead of you saying, well, I just think it's wrong, I think it's gross, okay? Don't do that. Just have a Bible ready or remember the scripture and say, well, let me just tell you what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 and 31 says, and quote the scriptures or read it to them or print it out and carry it around with you. This is why I believe what I believe and what I stand for. I am a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. I don't think that I'm better than anybody, and I know that some things are wrong and need to be repented of, and that's one of them. Man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32, this is a great mystery. I like that word because I know what it's linked to. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So, Bible's telling us, Christ is the bridegroom, the man. The church is not another man. The church is a woman, and the bridegroom is not another woman. In fact, it would be an abomination. God would be violating his very law, number one, for having two men laying together, two women laying together. But also, it's also against Bible doctrine and against the law in God's eyes for a man to wear that which pertaineth to a woman, a man to be wearing a woman's dress and looking effeminate. And the new clothing styles that are coming out with all the skinnies and all that stuff, that is meant to be a gender-bending, gender-neutral clothing so that boys and girls could wear the exact same clothing. That's an abomination, and it's not to be done. Okay? Oh, you're getting nitpicky. No, I'm just telling you, the Bible has a better way. There is, I want to tell you something. The world knows that there's difference in men and women and their fashion. And if you don't believe that, go to a foreign country where you can't read the language and look for a bathroom. Unless you're in Scotland. Okay? The sign for a woman's bathroom is a figure there with a dress on. Okay? I'm just telling you. And I'm not preaching that every woman has to wear dresses 24 hours a day. What I'm telling you, ladies, and I haven't preached this message yet, but I'm going to. What I'm telling you, ladies, and telling you, gentlemen, there is masculine clothing, and everybody, we may not be able to say what it is, but everybody in here knows what it is when we see it.
Amen.
There is feminine clothing, and every, I can't always define it, but I guarantee you, when I see it, when I know it. I'm looking at Brady or Bradley and Megan right now. And I'm thinking of Bradley wearing Megan's shirt right now, and I would have cold cocked him with a tube before had he tried to walk in this church with that shirt on.
Amen.
Amen. And vice versa. If Megan comes in wearing that thing with a tie and her hair slicked back, butch, we know it, don't we? But they're trying to break all the rules. Okay, so that you have people who have, who was it? One of the Wachowski brothers that made the Matrix movies is coming out. He's changing his gender. Having your gender changed, you can take medications now that turn you into a woman or turn you into a man. Take the hormone, do whatever. Okay, these things are an abomination to God. God has a design and a plan, and it's a picture. It's a prophecy, just like baptism is. It's a prophecy of things to come. And I want to tell you something. We're going to get into it tonight here in a few minutes. When you look at the Bible, the most glorious event that ever takes place in the entire universe, in the history of everything, for all eternity, is the coming together of the bridegroom and the bride. There's nothing in God's creation that tops that. Okay? So anyway, he said, that's what it's all about. Now turn to Revelation chapter 17. Let me show you the opposite of that. Revelation chapter 17. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I want to read scripture and give less comment. Revelation chapter 17, verse 3. The Bible says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I want you to notice that Babylon's out in the wilderness. Okay? Just kind of think about that. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy and having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. And she had her own talk show. Amen. And just pick one. She's on there, okay? And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her own of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery. See, there's the word mystery again. But now it's a different one. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of what? That is adulterated love. It's you have adulterated marriage when you're a harlot. And I want to tell you this. If you were to go study, if you say, well, sodomy is homosexual acts, go study Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16 will tell you what the sin of Sodom was. The sin of Sodom was idleness, fullness of bread, and pride. Okay? And those three things working together in a society will produce sodomy and those who are sodomites. Jared's telling me he's working in an area right now, and I won't tell you where it is, so you can't, you know. But he's working in an area right now where a majority of the people, he said, we're doing a school roof. And he said that we're just in this neighborhood, and he said, most of the people in that neighborhood come out, sit on, and they just watch us work all day long. He said, they're not working. Who's paying their bills? And I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you have a situation where people are not involved in industrious activities, gainful employment, whatever, the sins of the flesh will take over because you're bored. The sins of the flesh will take over, and sodomy is going to be the fruit of all of that lifestyle. So we can be mad at the sodomites all we want to, but they are simply the results of the common sins of America. The results of all the results of the love, the free love that came out in the 60s, where the youth of America decided that marriage wasn't good for anything, and they cast it out of their mindset, and so they just shacked up and fornicated all over the place, and it was between a man and a woman. They were already, the seeds of adultery were being sown, and the seeds of Sodom were being sown right then. And that's how it took place. Mystery Babylon is the spirit behind this. That's her role. That's her job. Now, I want to do this. Genesis 24, verse 62. Hurry up and turn there. Hurry. Genesis 24, 62. I got to show you this. These are pictures of the bridegroom and the bride in Bible typology. Pictures of the bridegroom and the bride in Bible typology. Genesis chapter 24, verse 62. This is the story of Isaac and Rebekah. This is a marriage. Isaac is the child of promise, so he's Christ. Rebekah is the one that was brought to Christ. Remember? She was brought to Christ. By the way, she was willing. They gave it. If you read the story, Rebekah had a choice. Do you want to go with him? Yes, I'll go with him. Amen. I don't believe in forced marriages. I do not believe in forced marriages. I think a woman ought to have a choice and a man ought to have a choose who they get married. Rebekah had a choice. And she chose to go with this. So watch this. And Isaac came from the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south. This is verse 62. And Isaac, verse 62, he went out to meditate in the field at the eventide and lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. You know his mother is? New Jerusalem. Do you get that? Isaac took his bride to his mother's house. It's in heaven. Amen. I love that. And his mother Sarah's tent took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. By the way, notice the camels that brought her in. Look at verse 10. And the servant took how many camels? 10. What brought you to Christ? The law. The law drove you to Christ. Said, you're worthless, you're a sinner, you're no good, you have no hope. And the law drove us to our husband, Christ. And when Christ offered his love to us, we said, you know what, we'll take it. I think that's beautiful. Somebody say amen. 1 Samuel 25, turn there, hurry. 1 Samuel 20, but these are pictures. I just ransacked the whole Bible looking for these things. But I want to tell you what, they're beautiful. The story of Ruth and Naomi. is the story of the marriage of Christ and a Gentile bride. Ruth is a Gentile. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer. And he's, by the way, he marries the Gentile bride so he can save Israel. I love it. I think I'm going to preach on that Saturday morning. 1 Samuel 25, this is Abigail. And by the way, Abigail's already married. She's already got her husband. But Nabal is mean and cruel and hard. Okay? And he doesn't treat her right. And she's abused and battered and everything else in the world. And David is the shepherd. You listen to this now. 1 Samuel 25:36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry with him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, talking about David wanting to kill him, that his heart died within him, and it became as a what? And it came to pass about how many days? I love it! 10 on stone, and that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. Do you know what? But now, at this moment now, Abigail is free to marry David. Did you know that this exact illustration is used in Romans chapter 7, that when it says that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? And then it goes into the illustration of a woman being bound to her husband as long as he's alive. But when the husband dies, she is free to go marry another. And Christ, David, is the other. He's not mean to her. He's not the law. He's not cruel authority over her. David loves her. And he treats her well. By the way, look at this in 1 Samuel 25. Notice verse 41. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of thy servants of my Lord. Verse 42. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass. And how many damsels went with her? 5. Turn to Matthew 25. Let me read it very quickly. I like it. Abigail, now the law is dead. Don't go back to the law, people. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They were foolish, took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, the liberals said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the conservative said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Socialism is unbiblical. Socialism says you go out and work your guts out all day in the heat and make enough money so that we can take half of it and give it to people who don't work. That's socialism. And right here, the wise virgins said no. You know why? Because if we give you our oil, there won't be enough for either one of us. It won't work. Okay? Lest there be not enough for you, us and you, but go you rather to them that sell them and do what? Buy for yourselves. Parents, teach your children that. Let them get to an age and say, you know what? You got money, spend it. Buy your own stuff. Amen? Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. How many brides? 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we. Number 5, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, because we're going to his mother's tent. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you people that hate the doctrine of the translation, get over it. Get over it. Amen. Wherefore comfort one another. You know what your problem is? You've been listening and reading websites instead of reading your Bible. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Remember the mystery that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 5? Behold, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Revelation chapter 9. But why? Because the clothes we have now don't work. They're not good enough to go to the marriage in. Amen? My wife did not go out in her bride's dress the day before four-wheeling. Or cleaning up behind old folks at a nursing home. That thing was clean and white. Amen? Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. No, that's the NIV version. NIV would have you to believe that the fine linen that the bride wears at the marriage supper is the righteous acts, in other words, the works of the church people. That is an abomination. That is a heresy. And I want to tell you something. When your Bible goes to left field on that, then your doctrine is going to go in left field, and all of a sudden you're supporting sodomite marriage. If you adulterate the Bible, you'll adulterate marriage. But it's the righteousness of the saints. It has been granted to us that we can wear that, but we didn't do it ourselves. We're not making our own dress for this wedding. Amen? Amen. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the woman and the man together. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I can't wait for that day someday. God will wipe away our tears from our eyes. And it's all contingent upon the greatest celebration of eternity. And that is Christ and his bride coming together. Neither, no more death. Can't wait for that one either. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Not the Lamb's boyfriend. Not the Lamb's husband. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper, clear as crystal. And I want to tell you something. There's just something beautiful when you attend a wedding. And I'll tell you something. I've married several people, several couples, and I've had these couples come in my office and talk a little bit about the wedding, and I'll try to witness to them a little bit, and I kind of look at them and you go, boy. Man, where'd you find him? Or, you know, where'd you end up with her at? You know, I don't ask them that. You know, that's rude, you know. But then all of a sudden, when we start the wedding, and here comes that gal walking down the aisle, you're going, man, she cleans up good. Amen? And I don't mean that in a nasty way or anything like that. I'm just saying there is a beauty about a bride walking down the aisle in that dress. She is meant to be beautified and glorified. And when the man walks in, Brady, everybody goes, well, there's Brady standing there. And when Amanda walks in, all rise and give our attention to the bride walking down the aisle, being brought to her husband, Christ, and the church. There's nothing more beautiful than that. Truly, it is a day of celebrating. It is a day of honor. It's a day of glory. And I don't mind marrying people. I really don't. I don't mind doing it because I know what it represents. And if I can get a chance to tell people, hey, this is what this means. That's what I want to do. And I don't just go eat chicken. I do, just because. It's chicken. But if that man who owns that company was willing to risk his fortune on a hot issue subject in this country, I'm willing to go stand with him and say, I'm with you. And if you go down, I'll go down with you. But if we can help, we will. And I think, and I want to tell you, church people, you take a stand for marriage in your marriage. You take a stand for marriage in your marriage. And that'll be a testimony to the rest of the world. This is what we believe in. It dawned on me, and I'm going to close with this. And God has helped me along the way in my life and in my marriage, 25 years with Lisa, and it hasn't all been good. And some is my fault, whatever. I'm just saying that God has helped me along the way. God has helped me with issues about taking on my role and responsibility, that I actually am the head of the household, okay? And that it is my job to make sure that this is done the right way and to listen to her counsel, because that is her job, guys. Her job is to tell you what you don't want to hear sometimes. That's her job, okay? And I've had to learn to listen to that. But God has also helped me in this idea that there is something bigger than I serve. I don't serve me. I don't serve what I want or what I have or what I desire or this and that and the other. I actually serve something that's greater than both of us, and it's marriage. I serve marriage. I have a philosophy and an idea. I would die for this country. You show me a constitution, and then you're looking at a guy who would spill his blood for that piece of paper. Marriage is something greater than that. It was enacted before the church. It was enacted before any nation. And I would rather be dead than not married to her. You stand for marriage in your marriage. Amen? Let's stand to our feet.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.